Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome across the fruited plain. It's Eric Erickson here this Friday after the 4th of July. All my fingers, all my toes still intact. And we shot lots of fireworks. My apologies to those of you who get the vapors over fireworks because you're poor dog. We celebrated the 4th of July as John Adams said we should with illuminations. You know, by the way, had somebody the other day when I was talking about this say, illuminations, those were sparklers. Those were sparklers. They didn't make noise back then. Oh, yes, the hell they did. We have documentary evidence. We have history. We have writings from the time. Fireworks have been around, explosive fireworks, for a very long time. And the founders of this country, when the war was over, shot off a lot of them. Wasn't just bullets flying through the air, as an aside. So Philip tells me he went to the local sporting goods store the morning of July 4th, and a young man from a part of our fair city showed up with bass booming in his car, reeking of marijuana, got out of the car with eyes so red everybody could see how bloodshot they were from the weed, went inside to the local sporting goods store and bought 1,000 rounds of ammunition. And the girls behind the counter said it would be happening all day like that, that instead of fireworks in that part of the town, they would be firing bullets into the air. You know, the bullets do come down eventually. I wonder how many people died or got bullets embedded in their roofs last night in East Macon, Georgia, where we live. I don't know. We shot a lot of fireworks. By the way, fireworks, cheaper than ammo, people, cheaper than ammo. So, nonetheless, we move on. I want to begin with this. They didn't leave his name, got his phone number, but this is important. This is important, and I hope, sir, that you are listening as I play your audio here for the audience.
Eric, one of your sources, the first item on your show notes for today, mentioned a quotation from Biden in a radio interview, but my wife checked that out, and he did not really say what that quotation was, something about him being a black female vice president or something like that. He never said, he said he, you know, was with a black president.
No. And so I'm glad you called. And this is where the media protection of Joe Biden comes in. Joe Biden said he was the first female black president. You don't have to believe me. Believe Joe Biden.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president.
I'm proud to be the first black, or I'm proud to be the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president. That's what Joe Biden said. Those are Joe Biden's words.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president.
That's what he said. And so if you subscribe to the show notes, and you all should, text DATA to 33777. The quote is accurate that I put in there. The quote is accurate. That is exactly what Joe Biden said in the transcript. You just heard him say the same thing. I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president. Those are Joe Biden's words. Now, it is clear to everybody. It's clear to everybody who wants to be fair about this. It's not what he meant. What he meant was he was the vice president to the first black president, and he appointed the first black female vice president. That's what he meant. But what he meant and what he said are two separate things. And for a very long time, a phenomenon has happened in the press where they have translated Joe Biden for everyone so that he sounded more coherent than he actually is. Played you the audio. The audio was unedited. That is Joe Biden in his own words. I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president. He clearly was meaning appointing Kamala Harris and also being the first vice president to the first black president. That's not what he said. The quote is accurate. The quote is not a misquote. So tell your wife that I got it right, and wherever she read it actually was covering for Joe Biden. And that's the truth. They're covering for Joe Biden. Now, I'm going to come back to more of your more of the audio from you guys here. I got a pile of them. We've been listening during commercial break, but I want to have a heart to heart with you first. I'm very big proponent of the United States of America. I have been to more countries than states. Not making that up. I have both growing up overseas in Dubai. We traveled a lot every few months. And then when I was an adult, I traveled, been through pretty much everywhere in Europe, in Western Europe for the most part, and also the Czech Republic in Eastern Europe. Been through the Middle East. I've been to Syria. I've been to Jordan. Been to Egypt. Been to Saudi Arabia. Been to Oman. Been to Bahrain. Grew up in the United Arab Emirates. I've been to Pakistan. I've been to India. I've been to Malaysia. I've been to Thailand. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been around the world. The only two continents I have not visited are South America and the Antarctic. But I've been to every other continent on the planet. There are a lot of people who say that they think the United States is the best country because they're Americans and that's what we're supposed to say, but every other country, they say the same things. Other countries say the same thing, that they're the best. I was kind of shocked one time. I don't want to use his name, but a guy I know and respect who writes for a conservative publication said, well, of course I say America's the best place because I'm from America, but I'm sure people in other countries say the same thing about their country. No, they don't. They actually don't. Most of them want to be Americans. I know because I've been to those places. Don't say that we're the best because I'm an American, so that's what I believe. No, we actually are the best country on planet Earth. We actually are the best country. We are the country that invented happy hour. We are the country where you can drive 1,000 miles and still be in the same country, but go from mountain to beach to desert to river to plains to old growth forest and back again. We are a remarkable nation. Don't say we're the best just because we're Americans and that's what we're supposed to say. No, we're the best because there is no other country where people are streaming across the border yearning to become one of us. And the genius of the United States is that anyone can come here and become one of us and make our country an even more perfect union. We're not a country of blood and soil. We have kind of become that. We have defined boundaries. And if you're born on our land, you become an American citizen. But the United States was founded on an idea and an ideal. But that's not abstract now. It is actually in practical application. You can come here, apply your energies, and you can be successful and your children can be successful. Look at the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris's parents are immigrants, Indian and Jamaican, and Kamala Harris is the Vice President of the United States of America, a single generation, a firstborn generation in this country became the Vice President of the United States. Barack Obama. His father's from Kenya. His mother, her parents lived in Hawaii. Barack Obama himself lived for a time in Indonesia when he was a kid. He became president of the United States. You may not like him, but that's incredible. That's not going to happen anywhere else on planet Earth. It's incredible. Ronald Reagan was an actor and not a very good actor at that. And he became governor of California, sat out of time, became president of the United States, still one of the best presidents we've ever had. We've had a reality TV star become president of the United States. And in this country, 80-year-olds with dementia can become president of the United States. We're a remarkable country. People literally are willing to die to try to get here. They want to be American. They want to live here. They want to be part of this culture. Yes, there are people on the left who believe that now we're a salad bowl, we're not a melting pot, that every culture can stay distinct. No, and that's not sustainable for this country. But, you know, most immigrants who come here, they don't want to be a salad bowl. They don't want to be the lettuce. They don't want to be the tomato or the cucumber. They want to be the American. They want to embrace football and baseball. They want to pick a sports team. They want to bring their ethnic fare from their home and make it part of the American life and American existence. And they want their children not to be Mexican, Honduran, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan, Vietnamese, Chinese, Laotian. They want their their kid to be an American. They want their kid to have the opportunity to become vice president or president of the United States, which they can do. We're an amazing country. So amazing that if your candidate loses in November, the country's not over. The country remains. America remains. If you believe that America comes to an end if your candidate loses in November, you're not an American patriot. You're in a cult of personality. Sure, will the country change? Will the policies change? Yes, they change every 4 years with an election. Do they change dramatically? Actually, no. Over time, they do, but individually, no. Much of what Joe Biden did was by executive order, can be rolled back by Donald Trump. Elections have consequences. But just because you lose an election doesn't mean the country ends. Country's always changing. We're always in perpetual pursuit of a better tomorrow. And sometimes it's the vision of the left and sometimes it's the vision of the right. But most Americans, you know what? They're just happy to be here because it's a great country. Stop betting against America. And here's the thing I want you to take heart with. If you really believe the country's going to end if you lose an election, what you're saying is you don't believe in America. You only believe in a person. If you believe the country's going to end because your candidate loses, you don't believe in the goodness of America. You don't believe in the greatness of America. You don't believe in the greatness of its people. You believe in a man, a flawed, sinful person. That doesn't make you a patriot. Never bet against the United States of America. Never bet against its people. Americans right now, our borders are overwhelmed. Our social services are overwhelmed. They want mass deportations of illegal aliens. But you know, Americans still want immigration. They still want people to come. They still appreciate that people can come here and join us for the perpetual pursuit of a better tomorrow. That should make you proud. No other country's like that. No one is dying to move to Canada. Some may want to move to Canada, but usually it's a bunch of white woke liberals who want to get out of this country because they don't like its conservative bent. They want to move to Canada. To the extent people want to move to Canada, they want to move to Canada because Canada's close to us, and some of them confuse Canada for being our 51st state or our top hat. Nobody really wants to move to France. They just happen to be moving there if they live in Algeria because it used to be a colony of theirs. Nobody except traitors want to move to Russia. And no one wants to move to China except the lavishly wealthy who think they can buy their way through. But people are willing to cross jungle and desert and ocean to be an American. People are willing to risk their lives to be an American. Stop betting against America. Stop thinking that the country's best days are behind it unless your guy wins the election. You're contributing to the problem. Yeah, you may not like the next president. You may not like that president's policies, but you know what? In 4 years, they'll be gone. To the extent you've internalized, no, they'll be a dictator. They'll never leave office. You're stupid. You actually are a stupid person if you believe that the next president will get power and hold power forever, for life. You're stupid. And you've decided that the Constitution isn't strong enough. You've decided that the vision of the founding fathers isn't strong enough for a single person. This country has weathered a lot more. You have no sense of history. You have no sense of purpose, really. All you have is politics that has rotted your brain. We are a great country full of great people where people can come and make a living and see their children become president or vice president of the United States, where the taco can become as American as the hamburger, which itself comes from Germany. Don't bet against America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, still, even if your guy loses. Greetings and welcome back. Well, okay, so I'm struggling with this one, Dennis. I'm struggling with this one because of the way you ended it. Shame, shame, shame on you, but I'm going to play it. My apologies to those of you who are offended by what Dennis says at the end.
Good afternoon, Eric. Dennis from Orlando here, WDBO land. Just want to get your opinion. What would be the outcome if Donald Trump were to say now he'd give Joe Biden a full pardon for any of his wrongdoings? The outcome on either side, what their feelings would be. Thanks. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Dennis. Really? Roll Tide, fine. You know, okay, so I don't know that there would be an effect. It would be interesting if Trump came out and said, look, I'll pardon Hunter, see what happens. I personally still believe Joe Biden's going to pardon Hunter. He'll wait for the election, or if he decides not to run again, he'll just go on and do it. I am convinced that Hunter is getting a pardon, and you're not going to convince me otherwise. They're saying maybe a commutation. No, I think his dad's going to pardon him. Russell, you're up next.
This is Russell in Tulsa. I have heard a lot about the overturning of Chevron by the Supreme Court, but one thing I haven't heard is how it would affect the Title IX definitions and enforcement mechanisms that the government uses for Title IX, and if it would cut back on the ability of redefining terms within the Title IX statute.
Russell, that is a great question. And yes, I think it will. So Title IX refers to sex, doesn't refer to gender, and gives the female sex certain rights within academia and protections, I should say, not rights. And the Biden administration has redefined sex to mean gender. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think that with the Chevron decision saying you can't keep changing these things one administration to the next, and you got to go with the clear language from Congress. Congress clearly meant to protect women's sports, and adding men to women's sports, I think, undermines that definition pretty dramatically. So I don't think they're going to be able to do it, or going to be able to change the definition. I think that matters greatly. Now, We gotta move on here. And what is my ad read? Jim, where are we going? Ah, you told me and I forgot. Hillsdale College. Y'all, sorry. Jim's talking to me down the line, and I'm so busy listening to y'all's audio, I'm not paying attention. But Hillsdale College, I do need to tell you about, because you can get your Declaration of Independence copy from Hillsdale College by going to ericforhillsdale.com. Ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. You get your copy of Hillsdale's Declaration of Independence. You can also watch the video on Thomas Jefferson. They've got a great video about Thomas Jefferson and the writing of the Declaration of Independence and his vision for the future of the country. But then you get your copy of the Declaration of Independence for yourself or for a friend. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, and then it's a great way to find out about Hillsdale College as well, because they're a fantastic institution, a great conservative institution. You know, they've even got a great curriculum for K through 12 programs around the country that you can get for your school. Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Get your free copy of the Declaration of Independence at ericforhillsdale.com. Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson across the nation. We'll be back to phones on Monday. We got a lot of listener audio I will sort through here shortly with some of you, but I want to get something off my chest. I have a reader to my Substack. So here's the way it works. If you text data to 33777, you can subscribe to my Substack. You can you don't have to pay. You can subscribe for free. However, if you want to comment and you want to get like the show notes and some of the more in-depth stuff, you do have to pay. It's $7. One of the commenters who is paid, who paid to the privilege of commenting and getting the show notes and stuff like that, gets mad at me regularly when I criticize the right. And I know some of you do as well. There you go again, both sidesing. Always gotta criticize the Republicans, can never just criticize the Democrats. I do tend to do that, and I think most of you understand why. I view my role as missional. I'm not here to tell you what you believe. I'm not here to reaffirm your worldview. I'm not here to just parrot what you already think. I'm here to convert people to my side. And what I have learned in literally years and years of doing this is if I'm unwilling to give criticisms of my own side when I think they're deserved and instead just bite my tongue, a lot of people who might decide to come to my side will immediately turn me off. I would like to grow our numbers. I cannot grow my numbers when I see things on my side that are wrong and say, well, I'm not going to criticize my side. There's no one to the right of me who is bad. There are plenty of bad guys on the right. We have our own anti-Semites we have to deal with. We have white nationalists we have to deal with who would purport to be on our side that really aren't, people who are trying to co-opt our movement. If I can't hold my side accountable, the voters will. I'd like to grow my side. And so, yes, I'm not going to bite my tongue when I think someone on my side has done something wrong, because then it comes off as intellectually dishonest to someone who might otherwise be on my side. Which gets me to the media. I have been unsparing in my criticism of the mainstream media over the last week. They have gaslit us on Joe Biden's cognitive decline, and now their position is, we had no idea. Sources were telling us this back in November, but we couldn't report it, so we had no idea. Baloney. My sanctification is a little bit off this week because I've used BS and written it out a lot on social media. I have called bull on a lot of stuff because they've been deflecting a lot. And then I had a listener today, very well-meaning listener, who sent me a Newsmax piece that they put on Instagram. And it infuriated me. I'm used to nonsense. I have to deal with people's nonsense on a regular basis. But this is on Newsmax. It's on their Instagram page. It's on they've covered it on their news outlet. Democrat strategists might be ready to exploit a loophole to get former President Barack Obama back at the White House, which includes making him President Joe Biden's running mate and next in line should Biden step down after the election. Obama was term limited as president, but legal scholars are now suggesting Biden could give his slipping campaign a shot in the arm by replacing Vice President Kamala Harris with Obama as his running mate. Paul Bedard wrote Thursday for the Washington Examiner, a Biden-Obama ticket would have a much better chance of beating Trump, George Washington University Law School's John Banzoff told Bedard. It is constitutionally impossible. It is constitutionally impossible. It's not a legal theory, and anyone who believes it's a legal theory is an idiot. And I don't expect you to appreciate that because I don't expect you to have sat there and read the whole Constitution. But for a news channel like Newsmax to advance a story like this that is patently impossible is as bad as the people on the left advancing their nonsensical stories that Joe Biden is A-OK. The 22nd Amendment of the United States. No person who has been elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term in which some other person was elected president, shall be elected to the office of the president more than once. But this article shall not apply to any person holding the office of president when the article was proposed by the Congress. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice. And no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of president more than once. In other words, you can be president twice. And if you replace a president who leaves office in the middle of a term after 2 years, you can then, or before 2 years, you can then serve a full term. So you get 6 years. You cannot become vice president of the United States and then walk your way into the office of the presidency. Why? Because the 22nd Amendment has to be read in accordance with the Constitution as a whole. And the Constitution as a whole says that the president has to be 35 years old, a citizen of the United States for so many years, blah, 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 to be elected. Barack Obama was elected twice. The vice president has to meet the qualifications for president. So the vice president cannot be someone who was elected to the office of president more than twice, because the vice president has to meet the qualifications of president of the United States. Because if something happens to the president, that person can transition into the role of president. And so there is a clear conflict. If the qualifications of vice president are the same as president, and no person can be elected to the office of president more than twice, then no person can be elected vice president who has been elected to the office of president more than twice. This isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. This is a well-settled, considered issue by legal scholars, and anyone telling you otherwise is full of crap. And the fact that Newsweek would push this shows you that conservative media is really no better than a lot of left-wing media out there. A lot of people who rely on television news are dumber for having relied on television news. The people, think about this, the people who've relied on the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC for the past 3 years are shocked at the mental capacity of the President of the United States. There is literally not a single American who is shocked at the mental capacity of the President of the United States, except those who believed what they heard on CNN, MSNBC, and the New York Times. It's like the stolen election stuff. Like I had somebody well-meaning who emailed and said, why is it that I was listed as having voted with a paper ballot when I voted in person? You say the election wasn't stolen. Well, yeah, you know, because you voted by paper ballot. Did the machine not print out a piece of paper on which your name was listed and it got scanned into another machine? That was your paper ballot. Don't you know people said the dead people were voting? Okay, give me the names of the dead people. Show me the list. There are always, by the way, dead people who vote. You should know this. There are always dead people who vote. The rolls don't get cleaned in time. They've died. But oftentimes what happens is people, if they die, they cast their vote on election day, and they get hit by a bus as they're leaving the Board of Elections. Their vote counts because they were alive at the time they cast their vote. Everybody gives me these anecdotes all the time. No one ever offers proof. We are a nation of smart people who are becoming stupid because of the media we choose to consume. And it's not just on the left, it's on the right as well. Newsmax is pushing this as a serious plot. I saw a columnist earlier say,
I'm being told by sources the Democrats intend to nominate Hillary Clinton, not Kamala Harris, because they're concerned about Harris, and they know that Hillary Clinton could win this time.
That's what they said last time. And also, no, if you have a source who's telling you the Democrats are going to replace Joe Biden with Hillary Clinton, your source is an idiot. Why? Because the only person who can inherit the $212 million war chest from Joe Biden is Kamala Harris. Yes, it's true. Joe Biden could transfer that money to the DNC or to a super PAC. But if so, that would leave the nominee for the Democratic Party with $0 in the bank to start their campaign. And they are not allowed to coordinate with any outside entity. So they wouldn't be able to coordinate on spending the money. And they'd have no staff and no money. It's simply, and by the way, you're limited. You only give $5,000 or $6,000 to a presidential candidate. So those billionaires who want to fund the next nominee, they can't actually give them more than $6,000. There are answers to the questions, and the media works very hard to keep you oblivious to the answers to the questions, and it's both sides. Everybody needs to do better. Now, again, I don't always get it right. When I get it wrong, I try to correct myself. I've had to do that a couple of times this week. I don't like to have to correct myself because I don't like to get it wrong in the first place. But the amount of media outlets on the left and the right that are willing to get it wrong and not correct themselves is staggering these days. Shame on Newsweek for running this nonsense and whipping people into a frenzy about it as if they have an inside plot. By virtue of it being run on a network that some people trust, they shouldn't, but they do, by virtue of running it on that network uses its credibility to advance a story that should have no credibility whatsoever. Shame on them for doing this and on their social media team, just because they can say, well, Paul Bedard did it in the Washington Examiner. Paul Bedard shouldn't have done it in the Washington Examiner, but just because he shouldn't have done it doesn't mean, well, someone else said it, we should amplify it, it's going to get us clicks, and that's the problem. Newsmax wants the clicks. They want the traffic. They don't care about the truth. They care about the traffic. And if they can give you something salacious that whips you into a frenzy over something that's not true, they don't care. And that's the problem with the media as a whole. The media is ratings based. They need the eyeballs. They need the attention span. They need the people, and they will sell them snake oil and convince them it is some cure-all in order to get attention from people. And in the process, they're making a lot of smart people dumb. It's just shameful. And it's not just happening on the left. And I have no power over the left. I have no say in the left. They don't care what I say. But I know people on the right listen to what I say. They're concerned about it in the same way I warned that Project 2025 was going to become their lightning rod. This is a problem when you have a news outlet like Newsmax spreading a lie on social media, something that absolutely is not true and is constitutionally impossible, and they're treating it as if it's legitimate. They're making smart people dumb, and they're scaring people in the process. Shame on them. Now, I need to tell you, shame on you if you don't go to Vision Computer, because they can save you money and give you a great deal on a great machine. Vision Computers can build you a computer that you want, that you need, that meets your specs. It's not one size fits all. And then you get their award-winning customer service completely for free. All you do is you call 404-COMPUTE or go to visioncomputers.com. But let's say you want the award-winning customer service, but your computer comes from the one size fits all big box electronics store, and you're having problems with it. Well, for $179 a year, Vision Computers can be your tech support person. In fact, for your whole company, Vision can do it for all of your employees, all of their computers, so they can be great at their jobs and let Vision be great at handling the computers. They can even remote in at times. They can do email support. They can do printer support. They can get your employees or your family up and running on computers without a problem. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. Now, here's the thing. If you call 404-COMPUTE and you tell Vision Computers I sent you, you're going to get an even better deal. But y'all, think of this. You, with your computer, you got problems. You don't understand how to do something. You've saved a file. You don't know where to find the file. Vision Computers, you can call them, and faster than a Google search, 15 seconds or less, they're going to answer the phone. You're not going to be put on hold all day. They're not going to do the, we're sorry, operators are busy, we'll call you back next week. They're going to give you the answer ASAP. You're going to fix your computer problems, and it's just award-winning great customer service. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. You'll save even more money. And this applies to any of you nationwide from Sacramento to Miami, Florida. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. Greetings. It is Eric Erickson here. Let's go to Jeff's comment left by audio.
What would happen if Biden were the nominee and then they decided to use the 25th Amendment against him?
Okay. What would happen? Well, just let's play out the theory. It's not going to happen. But let's play the theory. Biden officially gets the nomination to be president of the United States for after the 2024 election. The Democrats then, while he's the sitting president now, use the 25th Amendment to boot him from office. He could still run for president. Now, here's the problem: who would vote for him? And that's why the 25th Amendment is going to happen. The Democrats are not going to boot Joe Biden with the 25th Amendment unless they also are assured he's not going to run for the presidency. And right now, Biden is running. He's going to have the Stephanopoulos interview tonight. It will be pre-recorded. They're going to have to take great care not to edit the interview because people want to see. I don't think enough people appreciate this, and it needs to be said. The entire reason George Stephanopoulos is doing the interview of Joe Biden on ABC is to euthanize the Biden campaign. He's going to ask tough questions of Joe Biden to show Joe Biden is not up for the job, so that Joe Biden himself can be convinced there's no way to do damage control on this issue. Biden thinks he's going into a damage control interview so that he can show the world he's competent. George Stephanopoulos' job on behalf of the Democrats, and he is one, by the way, don't forget that. He's a loyal Democrat who hates Donald Trump. He's got to push Joe Biden out. He's got to euthanize the campaign with his interview. If he fails, the situation continues to fester. Democratic donors are convinced Joe Biden needs to go away, and Joe Biden is the only one who can convince Joe Biden to go away, which is why George Stephanopoulos has to euthanize the campaign tonight on television. You got to understand that. You have to understand that. It's necessary for the Biden team led by Joe Biden to be convinced to go away. Chad, you're next.
Hello, my name is Chad Tomlin from Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know if you guys remembered back in when Joe Biden and Trump was campaigning, Joe Biden was asked about if he couldn't be president no more because health issues, and he said he would step down. I don't know if anybody remembered that.
You know, until you mentioned it, I had forgotten it, but you're right. He did do that. But Joe really believes nothing's wrong with him. How do you convince someone who has dementia that they have dementia? It's hard. They get angry. In fact, this is one of the telltale signs of dementia is anger. You get mad about things. And this is where we are with Joe Biden. Joe Biden today is not the Joe Biden of 4 years ago. It was interesting. Joe Scarborough was back this morning, and he was trying to talk about how Ronald Reagan was a man possibly with Alzheimer's at the time he was in the White House, that they had to do a 25th Amendment review. They concluded that he was fine, actually. And even at the end, Ronald Reagan was just an old man who would get tired, like what they're saying about Joe Biden. But he could give a speech without a teleprompter. Ronald Reagan didn't stammer over his words like Joe Biden. He wasn't at war with the English language. He wasn't at war with facts and truth. Two different people. Reagan, by the way, was also younger than Joe Biden is right now. Joe Biden can't remember friends from just a few months ago. These are warning signs the Democrats have problems, but only Joe Biden can extricate himself from it. And right now he doesn't want to. Maybe Stephanopoulos can push him off the stairs tonight. We'll see. Metaphorically speaking, of course, people. Have a good weekend.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.